There's lots of confusion about heaven. Lots of people misunderstand it and don't really understand what the Bible has to say about it. As a result, we can end up not being very enthusiastic about heaven at all. So I thought it would be rather good for us to spend some time thinking about heaven as a church together for 5 weeks. I was going to do the next 5 weeks, but as some of you know, I've got a bit of a big operation coming up, so I'm going to do two, and then come back, one trusts, to finish off a bit later, to be thinking about heaven, what God promises, not just floating around in the sky, but actually here on earth, forever and ever. Amen. Now, there's a lot of confusion about heaven. For example, here we are. Anybody who know who that is? Tom. That's right, from Tom and Jerry. You see, now he's been run over by a lorry or something, I don't know, hit by a train, whatever. And this is what people imagine heaven is like. Floating around on a cloud. Can you see what he's got there? What's that? A harp, strumming on a harp. And look how happy he is. That's often the mythological idea of what heaven would be like, isn't it? Floating around on a cloud, away from planet Earth, with nothing much to do but strum. It may be a very long episode of Songs of Praise or something like that. And really, not very exciting. Who wants to go to a heaven like this? No, not many at all. We need to have a better idea than that. Now, of course, nobody really believes heaven's going to be quite like this. But these days, people do think about what might happen in the future. And they think of something like this might take place. They think that perhaps when people die, their presence remains, perhaps looking down on us. In various movies, that idea comes along. What about this? What's going on here? Who knows what that is? Who can tell me, youngsters? Do you know what it is, Melissa? The Lion King, you do know. You've seen it, haven't they? So the great king, Mufasa, has been killed. And Simba is supposed to take his place, but he's not really very keen. And the great king, Mufasa, appears to encourage him to do so. What's going on? What's going on here? Where does this come from? Ooh, do you know, Aaron? I don't think you know, do you? Okay. Someone over here, do you know? Oh, look, all three callows. I know what you've been watching. What's this from then, Daniel?
Star Wars.
Star Wars, number six, isn't it? The Return of the Jedi, isn't it? So these people have all died, but they've come back to encourage Luke Skywalker at the end, haven't they? And does anybody know what this one is? I'm going to try. Anyone who's not a callow who knows what this one is? Oh, okay, right, yes. Harry Potter, that's right, where his mum and dad who've died, but they appear in the mirror, again, to encourage him. Many people today think it's a bit like that. People who've died can sometimes watch down upon us and occasionally appear to be helpful and when it's useful for the plot. They don't tend to turn up and do anything that's really useful when they're needed. They just come along to sort of where they can't complete the story without them. But again, that's really not what heaven promises. Okay, it does talk about people being in a time of rest between now and the future. But the future to come is so much better, so much greater, so much more magnificent. And that's what we're going to be thinking about. We need to read and see what the Bible has to say about it, don't we? So, I've got three friends that are going to come and read to us now about what the Bible has to say about the promise of heaven. It's going to use symbolic language. It's not a literal account. But the symbols are that way because it's so wonderful that ordinary words just can't do it. It has to be like this. So our readers today are Sarah, Ellen, and then a surprise reader for the last bit.
There's no way Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I'm making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true."
Verse 22 to 27. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb gives it lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the king of the earth will bring their splendor unto it. On no day will the gates ever be shut, for there will be no light, no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought unto it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever.
Thank you, ladies. Now, heaven and the new heaven and the new earth are going to be absolutely wonderful. And I'm hoping that when we look at this series, eventually it's going to inspire us and encourage us. And I thought we would look today at the way to heaven. The only problem is, I can't find it. I've lost it. I've lost the steps on the way to the new heaven and the new earth that God is going to make for his people. What can I have done with them? I'm going to need some helpers to look around and see if they can find the steps on this great journey. Have a look around and see if you can see anything that looks like it might be a little piece of this great promise. Can anybody see anything? Can anybody see that it might be? Can you see something? Bring it up, bring it up. Ah, here we have one. What's this say? Oh. Sorry about them being so scruffy. It took me ages. Absolutely. A whole day's work. Oh, anyway. Ah, here's one. Oh, they're starting to appear. Look, you're finding the steps. Excellent, excellent. Bring them up. Oh, but I think they're a bit muddled up, aren't they? Come on, bring them up here. Oh, come on. You can come and hold it. Come on. Hold. Now, we've got to get these in the right order in a minute, haven't we? Okay. Oh, spread along now. Okay, there should be, I think I had, 7 steps here. God, that's a lot, isn't it? Am I going to talk about 7 things? Right, there we go. Right, I think, who's got earth and who's got heaven? Who's got earth and who's got heaven? You've got heaven and you've got earth. Right, step forward a moment. The rest of you step back just a moment. Okay, now, this is how the story begins in the Bible. Come this way. Do they connect? They connect. Do they connect up? Yeah. Now, okay. The Bible begins by telling us how earth and heaven were connected. But when it talks about heaven, it doesn't mean sort of like floating around in the sky on a cloud, although sometimes the word means the sky. But in this context, that's not what it means. It means simply this. Earth was where we live. The place where we live. The dimension of our existence, if you want to put it in a fancy way. And heaven is the place where God lives. The dimension where God exists, if you like. And heaven and earth were close. God and mankind were hand in hand. The people God had made lived in a perfect place, and their job was to go out and make a good world even better. And he would come and see them every day and spend time with them, and he was the source of life. We read about the tree of life, don't we? That's what it used to be like for Adam and Eve. But then a great disaster took place, a terrible, terrible tragedy. Adam and Eve, the first man, the first woman, and all of mankind with them, took this terrible step. They decided to do their own thing. And so they did. And look what happened. They lost their place in the Garden of Eden. And the terrible break took place between where they lived and where God lived. And Adam and Eve and all mankind who follow them had a terrible destiny ahead, because they would die without God. But they had a wonderful God on their side who knew how to solve this terrible problem and bring us back together again. But the problem was much, much bigger. Much, 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 much bigger than we realized. And it took a long, long time for God to solve this problem. I wonder if we can find out what it took for God to solve this problem. Who's got the next piece then? Who's got a piece that fits? Try them out and see who's got the next step. Does that one fit? No? No. Where are we starting here? We're starting from Earth. We're going to start from Earth, all right? No, it's not you yet. Who's got the place that fits, the right shape? Right. There we go. Do they fit? Ah, yes, okay. The first thing that happened was that God made some new promises. Now, in the Bible, it's all about promises. God makes promises for the future. Now, there's actually a lot of promises in the Bible. He made promises to somebody called Abraham, for example. He made that he would have a be blessing to the whole world. He made promises to the people of Israel. He made that they would have they would be his people. He made promises to King David that he would be the king. He made promises to Jesus that he would rule over the whole universe. The Bible is all about promises. And this is where heaven begins. The story of the new creation begins is with God's promises. So you'll notice I've done this in gold. Because we use gold for promises, don't we? Yeah? And that's what we're going to think about a bit more time. Okay, what comes next? Who's got a piece that fits? Come on, you can do puzzles, can't you? Have you got a piece that fits? Does your piece fit? No, that doesn't fit. It's an arrowhead. Does that fit? Ah, okay. What comes next? What does it say? Sorry, it's so bent. That was the paint. What does it say? God's new place. Remember this old earth, a lovely, beautiful earth, but had started to go wrong because humanity had gone wrong. So God's promises would be that he would make a new heaven and a new earth. That's why the idea of floating around on a cloud isn't exciting, isn't encouraging. Not really. We're not meant to live on a cloud playing a harp. God had in mind for us a new earth, much, much better, a fantastic new world. And this is what I've forgotten, because we're supposed to be looking at the Bible text. So, what have we got so far? God's promises came first. And we read in at the end of the Bible, he says, I am making everything new. But what in particular? It says that God's place. God has a new place in mind, a new heaven, and a new earth. And that's the place for us. Just think about the things that you enjoy here and now. Name something that's good in the world that God has given you. Any idea? Nothing? Nothing good. Sorry, bad luck. Music. What else?
Chocolate.
What else? Animals.
Well.
Sorry?
A bit.
What's yours, Andrew? Food. Do you think the music's going to be even better in heaven?
Yeah.
Somehow, yes. Do you think the chocolate's going to be even better in heaven? Somehow, even better. What else have we said? The animals, I think they're good now, aren't they? But I think there's going to be animals in heaven, don't you?
Wow.
In heaven, we mean on the new earth, don't we? Not the new heaven, not up there. New earth. There'll be animals. What else did you say? Food, yes. In the new world that God makes for us, all of those things will be there, and they will be fantastic. What else have we got next? Let's see. What fits? What fits? What fits? Aha, what does it say? God's new people. That's right. Now, we had that promise in Revelation 2, didn't we? He said they will be his people and he will be their God. Special new people. Point to a member of this special new community of people. Point to somebody who belongs there. Ready, steady, go. You see? It's us. People who have been changed. Still the same people, but they've had a new, fresh start in life. People who can worship God forever and ever. Don't worry too much about sticking them together. Make sure people can see. That's the main thing. Yeah. All through the Bible, God has promises for people who follow him and serve him. We've got green here because it's a new planet. And we've got purple here. I wonder why. Who else, who wears purple in the Bible? What? Who? What? What?
Kings.
Kings do. What particular king is most important in the Bible?
Jesus.
Jesus. I thought you were meaning a monkey there. No, but it's Jesus. That's right. It's all because there's one person in particular who is God's special man that we could all have that place with him if we put our faith and our trust in him. Now I wonder what comes next in the plan. We've got God's people. Which fits? Which one fits? Does your one fit? Let's see if it fits. Oh, no, it doesn't quite fit, does it? Let's try yours then. There we go. Ah! So what have we got? We've got God's earth, and he made God's new promises, God's new place, God's new people, and then it says God's new presence. There was a new way of God being present. He used to come to the garden, didn't he, to be with Adam and Eve. But he found a new way to come to be with his people. God's people in the Old Testament, they had a temple, and that's where he came. But now there was something even better. It would be his church, and he'd come by his Spirit to be with them. And one day, when everything is complete, he'd be there face to face. He will dwell with them. That's what it's going to be like one day. God actually with us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, you'll notice I did this in red. I wonder why I did it in red. I'm sure there was a reason. What's red? Oh, I'm going to come back to you in just a moment. I wonder what's red and really, really important. Does anybody know? Melissa, do you know? Blood! You know that, don't you? We were talking about it yesterday. Is that what you were going to say?
Yes.
Yes. That's right. The only way that we could be with God forever and ever, now and forever, amen, was because Jesus, the most special man of all, gave his blood for us. So what a wonderful promise. This is a wonderful future we have. What else have we got on the story? Well, let's try this. It must fit, mustn't it? Because this is the only other one. God's new purpose. You see, there's a reason for all of this. I did this in brown. Do you know why? Because it's not because eternity is all about gardening. It's because I ran out of ink. in colours. I didn't have any other colours. But you see, this is all for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve and worship him now and forever and ever. Amen. There are things to do. I wonder what there is to do. What do you enjoy doing now? Yeah?
Eating and building Lego.
Eating and building Lego. Yeah, but you'll be eating. We know that already, don't we? But you'll be making things, won't we? I'm sure we will be making things. And even more spectacular than Lego. What else might we be doing forever and ever? Amen. Any thoughts? What do you enjoy? Sorry? Worshipping God? Yes, fantastic. Yeah?
Running.
Why not? Yeah? Exploring the new dimensions of our universe. Who knows, we might not be stuck on planet Earth, might we? You've had so many options, you're going to be there. You're going to be very busy, aren't you? Yeah. Sorry? Yes, being with the animals, fantastic. God has purposes. And you notice that as well in the account we had from Revelation. They will reign forever and ever. They will reign forever and ever with him. We'll do the kind of thing that God does with him, reigning over his new creation and his new world. So you can see in God's plan, and there's lots of other ingredients we could have had, God has put together a plan that will one day reconnect the place where we live, Earth, a new Earth, with the place where he comes from, a new heaven. And it will include his promises, and it includes a new place for us to be, and it includes a new people to enjoy it, and it includes his presence to be with us, and it includes all kinds of things for us to do. God is wonderful, isn't he? And I am looking forward to it. Aren't you? Excellent. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of all eternity, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, that it's a promise we can rely upon, that we will be transformed people, that the place will be fantastic and getting better every day. Thank you that Jesus will be there, and it's because of him we can have that hope. And thank you that we will be able to serve and to reign with him. Teach us all, I pray, to look forward to that with great enthusiasm. In Jesus' name, amen. Great, thank you, youngsters. You can drop the steps to heaven here if you like. Do take your seats. Now, just a few words, which I hope are perhaps just a little bit more for some of us as grown-ups, as I want us to think briefly about this idea of God's new promise for the future. Now, we've already seen that the general folk religion about heaven is not an attractive one, of floating around and maybe just appearing every now and then as a disembodied ghost or something like that. So what alternatives do we have in our world today? Well, of course, the most obvious one in a world like ours here and now is that there simply is no promise beyond death and that dimension. And that there is, as John Lennon put it, no heaven. Imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. He believed that there was nothing beyond this life and this world. And he basically believed that because he didn't want there to be anything beyond it. He decided it would be better that way. Others believe the same thing, but for different reasons. This is the scientist Stephen Hawking. He believes that we are basically just complicated computers. And when you switch a computer off, then all the software has gone, it's all over, and there is nowhere, he says, there is no heaven or afterlife for a broken computer. That is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. So some would say that there is no heaven, no prospect beyond life, beyond this life and beyond eternity. What's the answer to that? Well, here it is. God's promise is a reality now. All this stuff we've been doing for fun here is something which has already begun in vital and important ways. Look, you see, it says, I am making everything new. It's already going on. This isn't a myth or a fantasy or something we've made up to comfort us in the dark. It's based on something that's already happened. It started to happen, in particular, when Jesus appeared. For example, we read, "As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come here, come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse them who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." When Jesus appeared and he was doing these wonderful things, that was, if you like, a little bit of heaven. That was the future already happening there and then, as people's lives were changed. And it continues to happen now. If your life changes, perhaps because your sins are forgiven, or because you start to be able to undo things which you, ways in which you failed, or where you find healing when you pray, all the other things that can happen as our lives change positively because of Jesus, that is the kingdom of heaven. A little bit of this future we're talking about coming to our lives and our presence here and now. Perhaps the single, though, and the most important and the central thing which has already happened, that is eternity, the new heaven and the new earth taking place, was Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' resurrection, because his body was transformed. That's, he was the first part of this new world which we are talking about. Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about Christ, the resurrected Jesus, as being the first fruits of a new creation. That's how we know everything is going to be made new, because that particular part of it, his own body, was made fresh and made new. It's because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that the rest of it is going to happen. So there, the first thing is, some think there's no promise at all for the future. The answer is yes, there is. It's already happened. That's how we know. Others make a mistake of a different kind. They think that too much of it has happened already. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Sometimes called the prosperity gospel. Here's a book, The Prosperity Gospel for Dummies. Your best life is now. Jesus wants nothing more than to make you happy, healthy, and whole. You see, others make a different mistake. And they think, oh, so every single thing that God has promised to make, give, do for us in the end ought to be happening right now. We never ought to be sick, and if we are, God ought to just heal us just like that. We never ought to be poor, and if we are, well, we just need to give more and then we'll get rich again. And this is a dreadful teaching that's spoiling Christianity all around the world today, particularly in Africa and parts of North America, and even here. What's the answer? Well, the answer is yes, it's begun, but it hasn't finished yet. It's a promise. These will work in heaven. Here we go. It's a reality to come. I am making everything new. And it will one day happen in the future. This is the passage we looked at earlier, but more fully. As in Adam, all will die. So in Christ, all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ, the first fruits that's begun, the first little bit, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come. Then all the problems and trials of life will be over when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father. So it's a promise that's yet to be fulfilled. And therefore, those who say that we should expect everything here and now simply have misunderstood, or worse, what that promise is. So what does that mean for us here and now? Well, I think this picture is very helpful. I think it's very helpful. I think we're in a similar situation to this person here. In front of us is a great vista of promise, of a new world to come, where things will be perfect without their pain and suffering and woe. But it is yet to come. Here and now, we have that first part of it. This little promise here, if you like, that we can rely upon and trust upon, that Jesus has died and risen again, and we can rely on him and trust in him and serve him faithfully, knowing that the rest of it is definite and sure, because this bit has already arrived. Do you see what I mean? Isn't that fantastic? And that's what we're going to be thinking about in future weeks. In the meantime, there we are, standing firm, I hope, on the promises of God. This is how Paul finishes this chapter that talks about the future. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Because we know heaven is coming. Because we know a new earth is coming too. It's worth it here and now to press on. It's worth it to press on in your everyday work, because you're doing it for the Lord. It's worth it to press on when you serve in the church, because it's going to one day bear fruit in the kingdom of God. It's worth it to show love and kindness to people. It's worth it to share the good news about Jesus with people. It's worth it to try and change things for the better. All these things are worth the effort, because one day God will make this whole new world, and that little effort that you made then will be part of that wonderful future. What a wonderful promise we have together.